أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على رسولنا ونبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين أما بعد فقد قال الله عز وجل في كتابه العزيز الأخلاء يومئذ بعضهم لبعض عدو إلا المتقين وقال الله عز وجل يوم يفر المرء من أخيه وأمه وأبي وصاحبته وبني صدق الله العظيم اللهم صل على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وبارك وسلم وصل عليه All praise, glory and perfection is for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and peace and blessings be upon His noble messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Yesterday we discussed the extension of our immediate families, which is our chacha, chachi, taya, tai, pupo, khalas, all of these people who are our extended family members. And we gave six particular reasons why, even though you may have your grievances, you may have your differences with your extended family members, but your family members are still an important part of the structure that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created. And it provides a support, a moral support, an ethical support, a religious support, where children can go, your children can go, and they can learn. And we discussed those various six aspects where our children can go and they can benefit from our extended family members and they can also benefit from us. So to just reject or deny or to write off our extended family members, even though we have differences, because the differences are always going to be there. Even between brothers and sisters, once they grow up, they will have these small differences and they may not see eye to eye or face to face, but still, you are still blood, you are still family. And similarly, with your extended family members, you may not see eye to eye, but you are still family and you can't break away from these ties, but rather you should use them to your advantage. You should use them so that your children know who their relatives are, so your children can turn to them when you are no longer here in this dunya, just the way Sayyidah Amina turned her son to the grandfather, Sayyidina Abdul Muttalib, and then to the other uncles of the Prophet ﷺ, and he recognized them and it was easy and comfortable for him to stay with them and to work and develop with them as well. Similarly, our children need that support network. So you will remember systematically what we have done is discuss family, discuss the individuals within the family, the husband, the wife, the father, the mother, and then discuss the children, all of their responsibilities and how they interact with each other, communicate, and how they need each other. And then we discussed the extended family members. And now we're going to discuss another part of the family as well, which is the friends. Because the friends have a huge role to play within the family structure and the family life. Because when you have friends, then you form a family of your own, even though you may not categorize it as such, but your friends are another part of your family. They are another extension of your family. So today, inshallah al-Aziz, we will discuss the pursuit of good friends, of good company, of having good suhbah, because your friends can become a means of your success, a means of your strength with your family, or they can become a means of your destruction and a means of you severing your ties and your bonds with your family members. So this question is very important. No matter how old you are, no matter how old or mature you are, you need to ask yourself this vital question that who are your friends? And you will realize very well from your own experiences or from that which you have seen that after the parents, and whatever blame that we want to put onto parents or the immediate family, but the majority of the influence that does takes place out of the home, and the friends are responsible for your children either going astray or your children getting closer to the deen. So it's a very important part of the family structure as well to know your children and to know who are their friends. Kin ke saath utna baithna unka hai, who do they talk to, who do they walk with, who do they live their life with outside the family home. So for parents, it's important for them to ask themselves the question first, is that when your child is young, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 10, throughout all of these ages, before their teenage years, there is nobody more important than the parent, because this is where the child constantly turns to. Any need, whether it's emotional, whether it's physical, whether it's spiritual, whether any type of need a child will have, where does the child turn to? The child immediately and always turns to the parent. However, during the teenage years, the child stops turning to the parent. And whether you want to place blame on the parent because the parent doesn't understand the culture or the society or is not communicating, that's a separate issue. But the parents need to realize that the child should be turning to them even in those crucial years, those teenage years. And if things are changing, it's because the child has changed or the parent has changed. It's one of the two. So the object of their attention and the object of their affection has been transferred. Because remember, first, all of the attention is going to the mother, going to the father. All of the affection they are receiving and they're giving to the mother and father. But during the teenage years, their attention goes to their friends. Their affection, their loyalty, their love, everything goes to their friends. And this is an important part where the parents can't just say, "Chalo, theek hai, dosti yaari kar la, jinne marzi naal karne kar." No, the parents need to make sure that they are controlling this particular aspect as well to ensure the protection and the safety and the well-being of their children. This is a very, very important aspect. Because as humans, our nature is to be very social. We like socializing, we like interacting with our family, and then we get fed and bored of them, so then that's why we have friends, because we can do certain things with our friends that we can't do with our family members. So the nature and the fitrat of insan is to always socialize. But also it's important for us to remember that it is those socializations, those aspects of that society that influence us hugely. They influence our decisions, they influence our lives, they influence who we are. So the question for youngsters is that you pick your clothes, do you not? Every day, you know, before your mom picks your clothes up until the teenage years, she picks and she decides, kera kacha pehna, kera juraba pehni, every single thing your mom and your father will choose, from the shopping to the food, every single thing they will choose. And then when you get a little bit of hosh, then you decide and you say, no, I want to wear this, I want to do this, I want to do this, I want to do that. So then you decide on what you want to do, what you want to eat, where you want to travel, what you want, all of these decisions you make as an individual. But then also it is very important for you to pick and choose your friends as well, very carefully. Just the way you have a particular preference, which salan that you like, which one has too much mirich, which one has too much masala, which has this, which has that, which colors look good on you, which all of these things you decide and you like, which is good for you. Similarly, you need to make sure that you choose those friends that are good for you, that are suitable for your deen, that are suitable for your family, and not just make friends out of convenience, because this is what happens during the teenage years. We make friends because we go to school with them, not because they are the best of people, best of characters, best of individuals. No, we just become friends with them because we just study with them at school, or because we're with them in college, or because we're with them at university, or because, you know, we're working with them and they become our friends. This is not the true meaning of what a friend is. A friend is he who will tell you what is good. He is he who will tell you that which is bad. He will protect you from the evil and he will encourage you to do that which is good. He will strengthen your relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and strengthen your ties with your family. A friend is not he out of just convenience that, you know, tika, whatever he says you do, doesn't matter whose nuksan is happening. That's not a true friend. So inshallah al-aziz, just the way that you choose and you pick all of the things that you like, you need to make sure that you pick your friends as well very, very carefully, because they have a huge influence on who you become. Just the way your parents nurture you and they have a huge influence and say in what happens, what you become, similarly so do your friends have a huge influence on your actions, your deeds, your intentions and everything else that you do as well. So they influence, believe it or not, directly and indirectly a huge amount of your life. They will influence your clothing. You may turn up to school one day, to university, to college, to work one day, and they'll just look at you and say, "Is that what you're wearing? That's so last year, that's so old-fashioned." And then you will get this sense of, you know, I need to conform, I need to be unique, I need to be modern, I need to do this, I need to... So you'll go home, and even though your parents may not have the money, you'll force them to give you money so that you can buy those new clothes. Or you may end up stealing something so that you can buy those new clothes or have the latest gadget. So believe it or not, even though you may not recognize it, but your friends have a huge influence in your dress, in your behavior, in your speech, in your demeanor, in your manners. They have a huge control and influence in all of these things. So that is why it's very important for you to choose your friends extremely carefully. They have three major influences in your life. One is they will influence your success, how successful you are as an individual. If you walk around with those people who are not intellectual, those people who are not successful, those people who don't think about the future, because then you'll start thinking like them and behaving like them. Chalo, they're on the dole. Chalo, they're just making ends meet. They're doing this, they're doing that. Chalo, mera bhi guzara ho jaise, because you're part and parcel of that society. And if you want to be different, they'll look at you and like, whoa, you know, why not doing what we're doing? So they have a huge influence in your success. So that is why it's important for you to be walking and talking to those people who themselves have this enthusiasm, this passion to become successful. And even the family members have a huge, you know, part in that as well, which we discussed yesterday. The second part where your friends hugely influence you is in your relationship with your parents. If your friends are disrespectful to their own parents, and you see that, you see that they are shouting back or answering back to their parents, they are not respecting them, then naturally the way that your brain will work is that way he does it, then I can do it as well. And it will brush off on you as well. So if they are disrespectful, if they are severing their ties, or they have single parents, or they have dysfunctional families, or a setup within their home, by you walking and talking, constantly interacting with them, it will have an influence on your behavior, on your approach, and your relationship with your parents and with your brothers and sisters. And finally, the third major influence that a friend will have in your life is your relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in your deen. If your friend is away from deen, then he will not push you to the masjid, he will not push you to give you a zakah, he will not push you to your salah, he will not push you to anything, because he himself is away from that. So when the time does come for namaz, when the time does come for you to do that which is correct, because he is doing evil, he will also encourage you to do evil as well. So your friends will be taking you away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, away from the nur, away from hidayah, away from barakah, away from protection, and they will actually be taking you towards your destruction, towards darkness, towards the shaitan. And this is why it's so important for you to recognize who your friends are and who are your true friends. You can, and I can guarantee this right now, go through your phone. This very moment, you'll probably have 200, 300 contacts. Maybe probably even more, depending on how chatty you are. But you'll have a huge amount of numbers in your phone, but then who can you truly call your friend? From those hundreds of numbers that you have, believe it or not, your true friends, your true sincere friends who truly want the best for you, for your family, for your deen, for your dunya, for your akhirah, you'll probably only be able to count them on your fingers. Perhaps 2, 3, 4, 5, or maybe 10. This is the maximum amount of true friends that you will have. Excluding obviously your family members, your brothers and sisters, and your mother and father. That's a separate thing. Your true friends who are external to your relations, you can only count them on your fingers. I know hundreds of people, probably more than you guys, but you know, nevertheless, I can myself only count my true friends, my sincere friends, those people of taqwa, those people of iman, those people of good standing, of good morals, good values, good ethics, good standing. I can only count them on my fingers. So this is where you can truly understand who your true friends are. They will be there for you through thick and thin. And they will always be there for you in goodness and in kindness. And they will be encouraging you to do good as well. So count your friends and find out who your true friends are. Because those true friends, how can you recognize them? They will be encouraging you to strengthen your bond and your relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They'll say, look, you need to have a good connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Akhi, come, let's pray our salah. It's time for namaz. Let's leave the food. let's go and pray our namaz first. Or we have to do this, but let's do this first. This event is happening, that's happening, this is happening. They'll constantly be reminding you to do good. They'll be wearing good clothes, which will remind you to be conscientious of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They will instill that taqwa in your heart. A good friend will be encouraging you to wear the hijab. And you know, whether that's that what you wear on your head or the hijab, that which you have in your heart and in your mind as well, which is protecting your eyes, protecting your private parts, protecting your body, encouraging you to pray your salah, to do all of those good things. Those are your true friends, not the other people who say, let's just have a little bit of fun, chalo khair, you know, let's enjoy ourselves. No, that's a different type, that's an acquaintance. That is not a true friend. A true friend are those people who want to strengthen your connection and your bond with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Those are the true friends who want to influence your relationship with your parents towards goodness. When you see your friends standing up, when their parents enter into the room, they are influencing you and teaching you good adab, good manners, good values, and you can learn from your friends. Look, why? If my friend is standing up for his mother, if my friend is standing up for his father, then I should be standing up as well. If my friend is kissing the hands of his mother and his father and hugging them and kissing them and speaking kindly to them and not saying off to them, not answering them back and being patient and taking care of them to his capacity, then you'll be learning all of these things from your friends, because those are the true friends. In a hadith, the Prophet ﷺ, he mentioned that those good friends are like those, you know, who will give you a good smell. A good smell. So when you go into a shop, a perfumer's shop, even though you may not purchase any particular perfume, but a good sohbah, good companion is he, that smell will brush off on you, and wherever you go, you'll have a pleasant smell, present aroma around you. But those bad friends are like those people who will burn you, who will harm you and your skin and your body, and you need to keep away from those type of people. So understand and recognize who your true friends are. Are they encouraging you, pushing you towards goodness, towards righteousness, towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Are they teaching you good adab, good akhlaq, good values, and making and not saying, oh, your brother said this, you know, I bet you he doesn't like you, or your sister is like this, you better stay away from her, you know, she's doing this, she's doing that, or your mum and dad, they don't really care about you. These are not your khair khair people. These are not your true friends. These are people who are taking you away from Allah, taking you away from your parents. This is where all the khair is, in Allah and with your parents. So make sure you have those friends who are teaching you to stand up for your parents, to kiss their hand, to speak politely to their parents as well. And then those true friends are those who will encourage you towards success in the deen as well as in the dunya as well. That they want to be successful, they want to have a good enterprise, they want to have a good business, they want to be successful intellectually, academically, in every single thing that they do, and they encourage you to say, come, let's do it, let's do this trial and error. Doesn't matter if we fail, we'll do it together. You can learn from me, I'll learn from you. You can use my expertise, I'll use your expertise. These are the people who are encouraging you towards success, towards goodness in the dunya and also in the deen, by getting you closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and also to your parents as well. Those evil friends are those who do evil themselves, and then they are encompassed and encircled and enveloped by sin, by ma'asiyah, everywhere they see. And this is what you will know, that if you walk with those type of people, all you will think of, and when you are with them, you will think of just evil, you think of doing bad things, chatting up girls and speaking in an abhorrent way and in a manner which is not befitting a good Muslim, which is not befitting a good citizen or a good human being. You yourself and every single individual on their own, they are good. But when you go with certain friends, then the evilness comes out of you. The horribleness comes out of you. Who takes it out? Because it's always in there. But the goodness of your parents keeps that evil away. The goodness of your brothers and sisters and the goodness of your family members keeps that evil away, and you manage to control it. This is what happens. And similarly, when you get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you control your desires, you control your whims, you control those evil thoughts and the whispers. But when you are with evil people, then they will only encourage evil, and they will bring that evil to the surface, and they will push away that goodness that is within you, and they will make you do evil, speak evil, do evil. And then when you go away from that company, then you just have to think about, wait a minute, I'm not that bad, am I? Did I really say that? Did I really do this? It is because of your company and because you are constantly surrounded by this evil, and then you yourself end up participating in that evil as well. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about this envelopment of being covered by evil all the time, and how it consumes you and leads you to your destruction. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in the Quran, بَلَا مَنْ كَسَبَ سَيِّئَةً وَأَحَاطَتْ بِهِ خَطِيئَتُهُ فَأُولَٰئِكَ أَصْحَابُ النَّارِ. That those people who constantly do evil, they are surrounded by the evil so much so that all they see is evil, and they are consumed by that evil, and these are the people of Ashabun Nar, these are the people of the inhabitants of the fire of hell. Because when you are with evil, then you won't see goodness in people, you won't have husn zan in people, you won't have a good opinion about other people, because you're constantly being encouraged to think evil and to behave evil. But if you are encouraged by good people, you will only see goodness in other people as well. The Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam would always encourage the Sahaba ikram to see good in other people, whether they were Muslim or they were non-Muslim. Always have husn zan, always have a good opinion about other people. This is the suhbah of the Salihin. This is the suhbah of the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, that they encourage that goodness and they maintain that goodness above that evil that you have embedded within you. But those evil people would make sure that everything that you see and everything that you do is evil, and you become consumed by that corruption and by that evil. So many women who probably do want to do the hijab, they have this good intention in the depths of their heart, that I do want to wear the hijab, that I do want to do good, but because they're surrounded by those people who don't wear the hijab, and they're surrounded by those people who are not close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then that goodness is overrun and overshadowed by the evil that they are constantly being surrounded by with their friends. So this is why it's so important for us to always make sure that we choose our friends. Not society chooses our friends, not the school, not the college, not our workplace or wherever we may be. No. We decide who our friends are, and those true friends who have fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who behave righteously towards their parents, and who themselves are of good standing, are of good honor, good rapport, and they are good individuals and good human beings. So I just want to ask, or go through a simple survey and ask you guys simple questions. You don't have to give me the answer, but just ask yourself, what is the answer to these particular questions? Do your friends make fun of your parents or their own parents? Because if your friends are making fun of their own parents, they'll one day make fun of your parents as well. And as a consequence, you will end up making fun of somebody else's parents, and one day you'll make fun of your own parents as well. So is that the type of friend that you want? Would the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam make fun of somebody's parents, or would they teach you to make fun of somebody else's parents or your own parents? Second question, are your friends used to committing sins like drugs and alcohol or various other sins, whether they are minor, whether they are major? Because if they are used to committing it and this is a norm for them, then it will become a norm for you to do it as well. You will begin originally with just something which is small, something which is insignificant, something which is minor, and then you will do something which is more severe and more severe and more severe. Realize now and walk away, because they are not your friends. The reality is they are your enemies. They are not taking you to Jannah, they are taking you to the fire of hell. Any person, whether it's your own family member, if they are encouraging you to do evil, they are not taking you to Jannah. They are only taking you to the fire of hell. They cannot be your true khair khah. So make sure you realize who your true friends are and who your enemies are. Are they tempting you to join them in those sins? Is another question as well. And if they are tempting you to join you in their sins, then know that they are not your friends. If you refuse to do the sins that they want you to do, whether it's chatting up a girl, whether it's doing some bi-sharmi or bi-hayai, whatever it is, and if you refuse to do that, do they disown you? And do they say you're not part of our group anymore? Do they remove you from their sittings and from their gatherings? If they are doing that, then they do not want khair for you. And it is good that they have removed you, because now you should go and find a group which will embrace you and bring you closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Are your friends successful individuals? Are they successful students? Because if they are not successful themselves as individuals or as students, then how will you ever become successful? Because you, whatever you see, you replicate. This is the human nature. So are you sitting with those people who are successful as individuals or as families or as friends? If they are not, then you need to make sure you pick and choose carefully. Does at least one of your friends, do they excel in their studies or excel in their manners? And if they do not have good manners or good understanding or in their studies, then why are you sitting or walking, you know, with these type of people? Because they will not encourage goodness in you. They will only drag you down as well, because they don't have these high aspirations. Do your friends treat their parents with respect? Because if they do not, then neither will you as well. Are your friends interested in taqwa, in the deen, in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in salah? And if they are not interested in these things, then they will prevent you, or they will keep you away from these things as well. Do they have a positive attitude in your life? Do they always tell you to look at the positive things, all of the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Or they're constantly saying, oh, he did this to you, he did that to you, she did this to you, she did that to you, oh, he's a nasty person, she's a nasty person. Or they're constantly pessimistic, or are they constantly optimistic? Which one of the friends do you have? Do they insult your parents? Do they have good goals? All of these things, these are the questions that you need to ask yourself and go through your contacts and sit down and just reflect, and reflect on your life. Reflect on the things that have gone on in your life and ask yourself, if my friend wasn't there to influence me, would I have done something different? And you probably would have. And those good friends, you are grateful for that they stood by you and they encouraged you to do something good, whether it was Hajj, whether it was Umrah, whether it was come to the masjid, whether it was come to a lecture, whether it was go to Jum'ah. You will always remember them for the good things that they did, but the bad things that their friends have made you do, you will always regret them. So that is why it's very important for you to ask yourselves, who are your true friends? Who are those sincere people who want you to get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to your family members, and strengthen your bonds and your ties, and also become successful individuals as well. So essentially, there are only three types of friends. One friend who will drag you to sin, to evil, to ma'siyah, and away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is one type of friend, you could almost call. The second type of friend is the passive friend. So one is the active evil friend who will take you towards all this haram, all this ma'asiyah. Or the second one is the passive friend who doesn't drag you to evil, but at the same time he doesn't drag you towards goodness as well. The first one is not good for you, and the second one is also not good for you as well. Because what's he trying to do? He's neither telling you to do good, he's neither telling you to do evil, then he may as not well exist, because they're not actually benefiting you in any particular way. But the third friend is the true friend, who is the good friend, who pushes you towards success, who encourages you to be good towards your parents, and who always tells you what is good, what is wrong, what is halal, what is haram, even though you may dislike him, even though you may not like what he says, but he will always tell you that which is good, and he will say to your face, look, you may not like what I'm about to say, you know, it may not be good, but I'm telling you for your own betterment, this is good for you, this is bad for you, this is halal, this is haram, yes. And when he sees you doing evil, he will try to prevent you to the best of his ability, whether through his tongue, whether through his actions, or whether through any other means, he will try to protect you. Why? Because you may think that he's preventing you from doing what you want, but he's actually protecting you from the fire of hell. He's actually trying to protect you and save you and take you into the gardens of paradise, because he wants your relationship with Allah to be pure, to be clean, and to be strong. So these are the three only types of friends that you will find in the dunya. Those who encourage evil actively, actively encourage evil, or those who are completely passive, not good, not bad, and they're useless. But the true friend is he who is a good friend, who is an active friend towards goodness, towards kindness, towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and your family as well. So even Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says and reminds us of these types of friends in the Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Al-akhillahu yawma'izin ba'duhum li ba'din aduv illa al-muttaqeen. On the day of Qiyamah, the best of friends, and because we have these titles, you're my BFF, you're my best friend forever. These are the titles that we have, you know, and we have pinky swears, and we have all these secret handshakes, and we have so many secrets that we share with only a select people, and we say, that's it, you know, my dunya can go here and there, teri meri yari, teri meri dosti, kabhi nahi tootegi. You know, these are the kind of dialogues that we say to our friends as well. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, the best of best of best of friends, because Khalil, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about Ibrahim alayhi salam, he says, Ibrahim was the Khalil of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, one of the best friends of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is how Allah ta'ala uses the same word, that Al-Akhillah, that the best of friends on the day of Qiyamah will become the worst of enemies towards each other. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is talking about those friends who were passive, those friends who never told you to do good, never told you to do bad, those friends who you consider to be friends, but they only encourage you to do evil towards ma'siyah. Allah ta'ala is talking about those types of friendships, those types of BFFs that Allah ta'ala is talking about, that on the day of Qiyamah, they'll become the worst of your enemies, except for إِلَّا الْمُتَّقِينَ, except for those good friends, for those righteous friends who always encourage you to do good in the dunya. They will be with you. Everybody else, those 300 contacts, all of those friends that you had at school, at university, at college, at work, all of those friends, they'll become your enemies and they'll say to you, Dafa'o, we've got nothing to do with you. You used to do this to us and that to us, and you used to encourage us to do evil. They will become the worst of your enemies. They will speak up against you. But the good friends that you had in the dunya, the good friends that who had fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they will be standing next to you. Because they will say, we were with you in the dunya, and we stood with you, and we stopped you from doing evil, and we encouraged you to do good, and you did the same for us. And today, they will be standing with you on the day of Qiyamah, when you need the most support. They will be standing right next to you, because those were the true friends, because they did friendship for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They didn't do friendship for your wealth, they didn't do friendship for your status or for your cars. And you will see this amongst your friends. Some of your friends, out of convenience, because you have a good car, they become your friend. Because you have some girls, they become your friends. Because you have pesa, they become your friends. Because you have influence or you know people, they become your friends. Allah Ta'ala is talking about all of these people. They are your dushman, they are your enemies in the dunya, they are your enemies in the your deen, they are your enemies in the hereafter as well. But the true friends, they will stay with you in your deen, even though you may hate them. You may not like them, because your parents are like that as well. Your parents will say it straight to you. You may not agree with what your parents have to say, but they'll say it straight to you. Why? Because they want good for you. And you'll only find a few select people in your life who will say it straight to you. They won't worry about the repercussions. They won't worry about whether you break up your friendship with them or not, what the consequences will be, or whether you will stop sharing your car or your money, all of these. They won't worry about any of these things. Why? Because they worry about a greater thing, which is whether you go into Jannah or whether you go into Jahannam. And that is why they will say it straight to your face. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that those true friends will be standing next to you side by side on the day of Qiyamah. So you need to ask yourself today, who are those friends? Who are those true friends? Because they have a huge influence in your dress, in your ethics, in your manner, in your speech, in your relationship with Allah, in your relationship with the Messenger, in your relationship with your family members. Remember, we're talking about family, and your friends become your family, and they become sometimes even more important than your family. Your mother and father may say something, and without even discussing with them, the first thing you'll do is you'll text your friend and you'll say, this is what happened, what should I do? This is what you ask them, because you trust them more. So that's why you need to make sure you have good counsel. You have good people who fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who understand these rishte, who understand the importance and the sanctity of all of these relationships as well. So this is why it's very important. And inshallah al-aziz, you will see even in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds us, يَوْمَ يَفِرُّ الْمَرْءُ مِنْ أَخِي. Another description Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions about the day of Qiyamah. That on that day, your friends will run away from you. In the previous verse, they won't even stand next to you and they'll become your enemies. In this particular verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, they will run away, firar huna, escape, like a convict escapes from prison. He doesn't look back. He doesn't care. He wants to run away, far away. Allah ta'ala describes in the same manner that yawma yafirrul mar'u min ahi, that your friends, your brothers, they will run away from you. Those people who you said, you're my brother, you know, bros before everything else we say. Those same brothers, they will run away from you, a mile, hundreds of miles will run away from you. Why? Because they'll realize that na main bachan laga tha, na wo bachan lag si. So why should I go down with him? This is what will happen. So the Prophet ﷺ reminds us that it's very important for you to choose your friends. Very important for you to choose your friends. الرجل على دين خليله فلينظر أحدكم من يخالل. That the man is upon the deen of his friend. Look at how the Prophet ﷺ describes it. That the man, the individual or the woman, he chooses the deen and the faith, i.e. the way of life of his friend. فَلْيَنْظُرْ أَحَدُكُمْ مَنْ يُخَالِلْ. Therefore, every single individual should realize who he is about to make a friend. Who is he befriending? Because the way that he talks, the way that he behaves, the way that he lives his life, this is the way that you will begin to live your life as well. Deen is not just about the deen that we have, the religious aspect, but deen is also the way of life that Prophet ﷺ here is talking about. Therefore, it's very important for you to pick and choose your friends very, very carefully, because your attitudes will become like their attitudes as well. And if people see that particular person as a corrupt person, even though you may be good, you will be counted just like all of those people as well, because you're part of the same group, part of the same clan. So it's very, very important for you not just to say, oh well, you know, dost school to again, bachpan to dost again, prosi again, to dost ban again. No, these are not excuses. You need to make sure that you choose those people who are your true friends, so that they will protect you and not lead you to your own destruction. Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam reminds us that one of the greatest blessings after Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala giving you iman, giving you your deen, giving you your parents, is that he gives you good friends, good pious friends who protect you, who constantly guide you. Even in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about these people, وَتَوَاسَوْ بِالْحَقِّ وَتَوَاسَوْ بِالصَّبْرِ. Those people encourage you towards haqq, towards sabr. Haqq is the reality. Haqq is that which is correct, that which is absolute, that which will bring you closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And they will also encourage you to be patient in all of the affairs as well. So no excuses about these are my uni friends and you're stuck with them. No excuses that these are my colleagues or these are the people that I grew up with and you are stuck with them. No, you have to choose, because on the day of Qiyamah, who will be standing next to you? Either it will be your enemies or it will be your true friends. And those true friends will be with you in the dunya, and they will also be with you in the hereafter as well. So the good friend and the bad friend, how do we truly recognize them? And what type of influence do they really have in our lives? The first example that I want to give you of a bad person, then I'll give you an example of a good person, and inshallah Al-Aziz will finish at that. Uqba ibn Abu Ma'iz, he was a very, very close friend of Abu Jahl. And as you know, Abu Jahl was the staunchest of enemies of the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, an enemy of Islam, of enemy of every single Muslim and Muslimah. So Uqba ibn Abu Ma'id, he had a good heart. He was a good individual himself per se, but he had a very, very bad friend, Abu Jahl, the worst of friends to have. But once Abu Jahl, he left and he went out for business. So he left Makkatul Mukarrama and he went out for business. So as a result of him leaving, the influence of his evil friend diminished. So what Uqba did, that whilst Abu Jahl was away, he went to the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam and he sat down with him and they discussed and they talked, so much so that he became convinced that Islam is the correct deen and the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam is the true messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he had this realization that all up until now, you know, I've been influenced by these evil things, by these bad people, and I think this is the reality, this is the haqiqat. So he came to this realization and he made the intention that tomorrow he will go and he will say the testimony, he will say the shahada and say La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah and become a Muslim. This was his intention. He made this intention after sitting in the good sohbah of the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam and keeping away from the bad sohbah of Abu Jahl. But what happened is Abu Jahl returned. He returned from his business and he found out that his friend Uqba had met the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. And then he shouted at him, Abu Jahl shouted at his friend, and he said, how dare you? How dare you go to him? And if you do this, that's it. I will cut off all of my ties with you. I will no longer talk with you. You will be no longer part of this tribe or this clan and this community. We will not deal with you. So he threatened him with marrying different ways and that we will not support you, will not do this, not will do that. And he put that fear into the heart of Uqba. And as a result of him putting that fear and putting that influence back on Uqba, Uqba changed his intention. And he said, no, I'm not going to go and do the shahada anymore. And Uqba, as a result of the influence of Abu Jahl, became one of the worst enemies after Abu Jahl of the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, one of the worst enemies of Islam. How? The same guy was about to say the Shahada, but through the influence of his friend, through the threat of his friend, and you know, all of these things, he became one of the staunchest and horriblest enemies of Islam again. And from that day onwards, he tried every single thing to harm Islam and harm the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. And he was finally killed in the Battle of Badr. And what a severe punishment that he received in the Battle of Badr. But look at this man, his life could have changed if it wasn't for the influence of his bad friend. Similarly, you may end up doing things in your life, and it may not necessarily be the right thing, but you need to ask yourself, who influenced me? Who planted that seed? Who put that thought into my mind? I was about to do something good, but I ended up doing something bad. So that is why it's so important that we choose our friends very, very carefully. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about him, especially this man here in the Quran, and about how he was about to do something good, but then because of his influence, the bad influence of his friend, he ended up doing something which was so, so severe. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran mentions, Ya waylata laytani lam attakhiz fulanan khalila laqad adallani ani dhikri ba'da izja'ani. That he says, woe unto me, that there is no more wretched person, no more cursed person. Woe unto me that I wish I had not taken such and such person as a friend. This is Uqba at that particular incident thinking, had I not taken Abu Jahl as my friend, had I not allowed him to influence me, I wouldn't be in this dire state today. Lam attakhiz fulan khalila, I wish I had never taken this person as my friend. And then he says, Laqad adallani, that this person without a doubt, my friend, who I used to call my friend, he actually misguided me and kept me away from the zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, even though that the guidance had come to me. And this is exactly what happened. The guidance came via the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to Uqba, but because he had chosen Abu Jahl as a friend, he had influenced him in the wrong way. He had kept him away from the zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and as a result of that, it took him to his own destruction, and he was destroyed in the dunya, and he will be destroyed in the hereafter as well. Why? Because of that grave influence, that bad company that he kept. So don't just think that, you know, your friends just make you do silly things, or they make you do stupid things. They have a huge influence on your deeds, on your action. So you need to be extremely careful on who you befriend, extremely careful on how close you are and how many things you share with those people, because if they are not good themselves, if they are not fearful of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then they will only lead you to your destruction in your dunya and also your destruction in the hereafter. So let's find a simple, a beautiful, an elegant example of a good friend. We see this of Ayyash ibn Abu Rabi'a. He was a sahabi of the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, and he was a great friend of Sayyidina Umar ibn Khattab radiyallahu ta'ala an. So once he embraced Islam, Ayyash ibn Abu Rabi'a, he wanted to migrate to Madinatul Munawwara, because this is where all of the Sahaba Ikram had gone following the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So he wanted to leave Makkah. As he was leaving Makkah with his friend Sayyidina Umar ibn Khattab, what happened? That the people of Makkah, especially Abu Jahl, he prevented, or he came to Ayyash and he said to him that your mother, she is screaming, she is shouting, she is distraught, she is upset, and she is saying that I'm going to stay underneath the sun, I will not go under any shade, I will not drink anything, I will not eat anything, I will not wash, I will not do anything until my son comes back. This is what Abu Jahl came and said to him. Why? So that he could bring him back into Makkah. And the reason why he wanted to bring him back into Makkah, because Ayyash ibn Abu Rabi'a was a very successful merchant. He was very, very prominent. He was very, very wealthy. And Abu Jahl didn't want the wealth or the power or the status to leave Makkah and to go to Madinatul Munawwara. So he concocted this story and he made it all up. It was a false story to pull at the strings of this sahabi, pull at the strings of this son, this individual, and say, look, come back. You know, your mom is crying and distraught and she's saying, I'm not going to eat or sleep or anything until my son comes back. So Sayyidina Umar at that time, he counseled his friend and he said to him, look, Abu Jahl is lying. He is making up this story and this is not the reality. And even if there is some truth to it, then after some time, your mother will see sense. And then she herself will find shade. She herself will go and eat some food, because this is a natural fitrat of insan, that when you get so hungry or anything else happens, you know, after a certain period of time, you will kick in, the survival instincts will kick in, and you will protect yourself and take care of yourself. So he said, now Umar at that time, he tried to counsel his friend, and he said, look, don't go back, because this is a trick. But in spite of that, Ayyash, because of his heart's, you know, his emotions were pulled, he said, no, I need to go back and at least verify and check what the reality is. So as soon as he went back, what did Abu Jahl do with all of his friends? They captured him and they imprisoned him. They captured him and they imprisoned him. But before Ayyash left from Sayyidina Umar, what did Umar do? He said, if you want to go back, then here, take my camel. Because the camel will be a reminder of me. Because when you give an amanat of your friend, it stays with you, that symbol, you remember your friend. So Sayyidina Umar said, if you do need to go back, then I will help you. I will help you here, take my camel. And then by taking my camel, what do you have to do? You have to return my camel as well. So this was what Umar did. So he said, take my camel. So Ayyash took that camel, but when he went there, he was imprisoned. He was captured and he was tortured and he was prevented from going back into Madinatul Munawwara. So he realized this was all false. But then what happened? After some time, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he revealed a verse. قُلْ يَا عِبَادِيَ الَّذِينَ أَسْرَفُوا عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ لَا تَقْنَتُوا مِنْ رَحْمَةِ اللَّهِ. That all of those people who have wronged themselves, who have transgressed the limits of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who have done something, whether it's minor or whether it's major, whatever you may have done, لَا تَقْنَتُوا مِنْ رَحْمَةِ اللَّهِ. Do not despair from the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Indeed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive all of your sins. So Allah ta'ala here is talking about His slaves, His people, the people of Iman, the Muslims here specifically. As soon as this verse was revealed, do you know what Sayyidina Umar did? As a good friend, he wrote this down and he sent a messenger who gave this message, gave this verse to his friend who was imprisoned in Makkatul Mukarramah. And when he heard this verse, then it reignited that flame. It reignited that passion, that yearning to be with the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That whatever may have happened, even though I've made a bad decision and a wrong decision to come back, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the most merciful, and my friend has sent this verse to me, and he wants me back as well. So this yearning, this passion, this desire came back again into Ayyash. So then he tried all of his efforts, and he escaped, and he returned back to Madinatul Munawwara because of the good act and the deed of Sayyidina Umar ibn Khattab. And he also returned the camel of Sayyidina Umar ibn Khattab as well. And he first went to meet Sayyidina Umar, and Sayyidina Umar immediately took him to meet the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So this is a great example of good companionship, of good friends who will save you from total loss, who will guide you when you need to be guided, and also remind you when you need to be reminded as well. Because there he was thinking, that's it, main phas gaya, there's no savior for me, and that's it, I've made a bad decision, and even Allah Ta'ala may be perhaps angry with me as well. But a good friend is he will remind you, he will encourage you, he will support you. And this is exactly what Sayyidina Umar did, and he wanted to protect his friend, save his friend from the people of Makkah, and also save him from the hereafter as well. So these are the examples of having good companionship and how it will help you immediately and also in the future, and also the example of having bad friends and how those bad friends will prevent you and influence you in such a way that even if you wanted to do something good, they will prevent you from doing that good as well. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us all the ability to pick our friends. We can't pick our family, but when we do pick our friends, we need to make sure we pick them very, very carefully, because they have a huge impact, a huge influence on our actions, our deeds and our thoughts as well. Now the day of Qiyamah, we want those people who will stand next to us just the way they stood next to us in the dunya as well. Those people who strengthen our ties to Allah, strengthen our ties to the Messenger, strengthen our relationship with our family members, and always encourage us to do good and to become successful in our deen as well as in our dunya as well. وَقُولِ كَوْلِ هَذَا وَأَسْتَغْفِرُ اللَّهَ لِي وَلَكُمْ جِزَاكُمُ اللَّهَ خَيْرًا إِنْشَاءَ اللَّهُ. Join me again for another session on the importance of our family members as well. Jazakumullahu khairan.